Welcome to another episode of Donversations. Today we have Dr. Mark Mancola. Hi, Mark.
How you doing, Don?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to talk to you. I literally have a million things written down, and I don't know exactly where I want to start, but I think I want to ask you, what is the difference between Eastern and Western medicine?
Eastern medicine is more holistic. It's more involved in things like the different parts of the body, different systems in the body, seen separate. They're not seen as like one integrated thing. It's like the Western world sees everything as one integrated thing. You're looking at the physicality. But in Eastern medicine, you're looking at the liver, the kidney, the gallbladder, all different systems, all different worlds under themselves. And the objective is to take best information you can gather from a perspective of natural substances like herbs, homeopathic medicines, vitamins, minerals, food supplements, things like that. Natural approaches to balancing the systems, the different chemistries, different systems out. When there's illness, there's imbalances in the various systems of the body. You can have like an overactive or an underactive liver, kidney, gallbladder, spleen, lung, heart. And you want to balance them out. You take the overactive and you slow them down a little bit. You take the underactive and you give them a little nudge. That's how I describe that.
Right. So do you think that inflammation is one of the biggest problems in the diet of Americans, at least?
72% of all disease is inflammatory. 72%. So of all the different inflammatory conditions that exist in the system, in the human body, they're all 72% of them are inflammatory. It begins with foods. There are foods like peanuts, egg yolks, not egg whites, egg yolks, dairy products, red meats, sugars, things like that actually produce COX-2 hormones. Those COX-2 hormones produce arachidonic acids, fatty acids that actually sets up the production of inflammatory systems in the body, inflammatory chemistry in the body. It's very much involved in the establishment of inflammation. It's food-based, it's all food-based.
Gosh. So is that all in your book where you talk about the diet?
Yes. I've written 8 books. I'm working on my 8th book right now. And all my books are talking about that stuff.
And you got interested in that because your brother was sick, right?
That's exactly right. My brother, when he was young, he was 35 years old, he had a heart attack at 35. And this is back when nobody knew that much about the corollaries between diet, nutrition, exercise, stuff like that. They never thought about that stuff. So, I mean, I was really working really hard to help. I studied a lot of the available information at that time, which wasn't very much. I learned about foods, put him on a diet, helped him with his health program. He got a lot better.
That's awesome. Who was your favorite author of dietary? Was it like Dr. Ornish, or where did you learn the most when you were studying about diet?
I liked Dr. Pavo Arola. Arola. Dr. Pavo Arola. Pavo Arola was one of my favorite authors, one of my favorite healers. He's a very, very special man. It's an amazing, wrote some amazing book. He's my favorite.
So, what got you going down the path of miracles? Were you a spiritual person before that? Or do you even consider miracles to be spiritual or religious at all?
I not necessarily. And I think for the past 35 years, I've worked with 60,000 patients. And I've helped so many with stage 4 cancers recover, people from heart disease recover, people who were scheduled for surgery, stuff like that, never needed surgery. So we've had some amazing experiences, really amazing. But I think there's a couple corollaries with all that. Number one, miracles are made by us. You have miracles have 4 options. To make miracles is the greatest thing. That's the number one thing. But people can reject, they can accept, they can expect, or they can create miracles. I say you want to be careful if you're on the negative side of that. If you want to reject miracles, you're already 1 foot in the bucket. You have trouble. if you want to expect them, that's okay. I'd rather accept them. If you want to accept them, rather, it's okay. I'd rather expect them and produce them. Much better way to do it.
Yeah. Well, we don't think we have as much control as what we do. Why is that?
I think the key is we don't know who we are. We have an identity crisis. I think we're much broader, we're much more expansive, we're much more powerful than we think we are. We're so busy criticizing ourselves, feeling criticized by the world. The culture in which we live is very, very critical, and it breeds self-critical nature. It's not nice, not healthy, not doesn't produce abundance. It produces lack. It produces disease. I think that I just noticed early on that when I work with patients in a compassionate, loving, excited way, in a positive way, and think positive thoughts for them and work in a positive manner with them, they get better. And I was like thrilled to see that happen early on in my career. And I've reached out to so many people that grew so much and healed so remarkably deep, remarkable deep healings and profound changes, transformations. And so I decided that I was going to make a study about it. I was going to work at it. I was going to spend some time developing this stuff, making sure that we could repeat the performance. We could actually teach people how to heal themselves.
Have you convinced a lot of skeptics? Did you have miracles happen to people that just were like, whatever, doctor?
I think if you see my movie, you'll really feel that. You'll feel that a lot. My movie tells the story beautifully. The movie is called The Way of Miracles, and it's being streamed right now on Gaia, G-A-I-A, Gaia Herbs, G-A-I-A. And I think the movie tells the story about the whole process, you know? And
okay.
It's clear that we're doing something special here because we believe in our ability to do that, and then we pursue it. If you believe in your ability to do it and then pursue it, you're going to have good luck.
Yeah. What do they say where energy flows? What is it? What's the saying? Something where your focus goes, energy flows or whatever.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. I need to see it. But I started reading the foreword of your book, because that's all I could get. But I'm going to get it. I'm going to buy it. You had a pretty big thing happened for you when you collapsed and you were on your bathroom floor and you were just laying there. That was excruciating to read. I could not even imagine having lived that, just laying there contemplating.
14 hours. It was terrible. But I mean, anyway, we were making the movie. We were working on the movie, doing the pre-production for the film. And of course, we were setting up interviews with patients who had been through recoveries and stuff like that. I never thought that I was going to be one of the patients in the story at that time. But I was a bit, I used to jog in the woods a lot. You know, because it's rough, it's natural, it's just kind of a fun environment to run. I don't like running tracks or anything like that, or treadmills.
Right.
I like to go in the woods and run. So I did that. I used to do that 3-4 times a week, and I ran long distances. But I mean, one time I got bit by a tick, by a deer tick in the woods. And mm-hmm. I got really sick instantly. I mean, I was sick overnight. And I was not able to keep my balance. I was not able to stand up. I was falling down, and it's really, really, really worried about it. The long story short is, I went through a period where I couldn't stand up at all, and I was paralyzed. I had 14 hours on the bathroom floor. I fell on the bathroom floor, and I was there 14 hours before my son came and found me and gave me a lift, got me out of there and into the hospital and stuff like that. So I spent some time in the hospital and had to run all kinds of blood work and all that stuff. And it was Lyme disease. I had Lyme disease. And Lyme disease is a horrible thing. It's a terrible thing. There's 300,000 people a year that contract Lyme disease. 300,000 is a lot of people. I mean, I've had patients who have Lyme disease. I have some of them, I have a good friend, 71 years old, who died from Lyme disease. Lyme disease can't kill you. There's no doubt about it. So, I mean, I was paralyzed for 2 weeks, and I didn't think I'd ever walk again.
Mm-hmm.
I really geared my mind the same way I worked with my patients. I geared my mind to myself. My healing, self-healing was all geared the same way that I would give myself upper healing patients. Same story. I put a lot of energy into it, put a lot of positive contemplation into it, a lot of visualization, a lot of hard work, a lot of diet, nutrition, which I always did well. I did all that stuff, and then I beat the lump. I mean, I'm like 85% clear. And I still have occasional periods where I have, like, it's a damp, rainy day, I have a hard time walking. My joints swell, stuff like that. But 85 to 90% clear. And I did that without medication.
Wow. Well, if you did decide to go the Western medicine route, what would they do for you for Lyme disease? What do they?
Not much. They treat the symptoms. You know, Western medicine is not into treating the root of the problem. They're into mm-hmm. treating the symptoms of the problem. So they take my symptoms and they try to put me on things that just work with the symptoms.
Oh, I don't know what that is. Did you see those balloons?
I just saw those balloons come. Where they come?
I didn't even push anything. That's weird.
And then I just finished my story too.
Wow. I don't know what the heck that was. So does Lyme disease ever totally go away?
Great question. And it really doesn't. It really doesn't. It does not go away. It's like your body adapts to the antibodies. And after you adapt the antibodies, you can survive without being as symptomatic. But there are certain supplements that work really well on it. I mean, first things first, it's a bacteria.
Okay.
You treat it with antibiotics of some kind, whether it be natural or unnatural, and antibiotics. I did 1,500, 1,100 actually. I did 1,100 potency of colloidal silver, 1,100 parts per million. So I did that. I drank about half an ounce a day, twice a day, something like that for weeks.
Wow.
It helped. It definitely helped. And the diet is important. You can't be eating bacterial foods, yeasted breads, nuts, peanuts, vinegar, beer, wine, champagne, stuff like that. You got to avoid all that stuff. That stuff breeds bacteria. It'll take the bacteria that you have in your body and it'll expand it.
Before you got bit by the tick, you were really healthy, weren't you?
Mint. I was running marathons. I was great shape, incredible.
So do you think if you hadn't been, that it probably would have killed you? Do you think having that health prior to that really is what saved you?
Yeah, I think that made a difference. I think it made a difference. I think that it made a big difference. I think it gave me a little bit of residue, a little bit of reserve, I should say, reserve to build up. You know, reserve tank was full of great resilient energy, really powerful, and a positive thinker just that helps.
Hmm. Okay, so back to your movie and your book. You have, I don't want to say his name wrong. Is it Chopra or Chopra? Dr. Deepak?
Yeah, Deepak Chopra.
Okay, Chopra. Were you a huge fan of his and Dr. Bruce Lipton? Were you fans of theirs before?
Yeah, I did. I read their books and liked their work, and I still have them in the movie.
You definitely have to be like ready and in the right mindset to read those kinds of books, because I got one of Dr. Lipton's one time and I just put it down. I was like, I can't wrap my head around this stuff. But then it's like the next time I saw it and looked, it made so much more sense. It just was like, okay, I'm ready to hear it now. I understand it better.
I mean, a lot of what they talk about is physics, quantum physics, you know?
Right.
And that tends to be elusive for most people. The idea of talking about quantum physics is something that escapes most people's day-to-day mentality.
Right.
It's not common knowledge. It's not simple thinking. It's complicated thinking. It's miracle thinking. It's beautiful. It's great capacity to expand your properties, your thought properties beyond the norm. And it's by thinking that extensively and that deeply and that powerfully that you can actually build more of a miraculous approach to your physical and your emotional and your mental bodies. You know, you become more miracle making.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff, that language sets you up for it.
So you said that you are thinking, or you are going to be working on a second movie.
Yeah, there's a company from Australia that's coming up to meet with me in March. I started talking about it.
Is it like a sequel or is it a brand new concept?
I think a little bit of both. It's not a sequel per se, but it's going to be a little bit the same flavor.
Okay. Do you meditate every day?
I do. Every morning.
How long?
30 to 40 minutes.
Whoa, that's a long time. Well, to me, like 3 or 4 minutes is a long time. How do you quiet your mind? How do you do that?
I think you have to develop intention for it.
Okay.
We're not inclined to do that. There's different parts of the mind that we use, obviously. There's different parts of the mind that are more busy. Like, you know, we produce different brainwaves. And you produce brainwaves that are more beta brainwaves. Your busy mind, it's really, your mind is busy thinking and processing and wondering and all that stuff. It's a busy mind. Beta is a very busy mind. Alpha is a quiet mind. Alpha starts to slow things down, starts to take into account the deeper part of the moment, the deeper part of your moments. So I think alpha is really a good brainwave state to meditate in. And so too is delta. Delta is deeper brainwave state than alpha. Alpha starts you off with a meditative mind, and delta really takes you full deeply in. But I like delta brainwaves. I work with the delta stuff a lot.
You mentioned that you have a son. Do you just have the one child?
No, two boys and a girl.
Are they healthy?
Yeah, my daughter works with me here.
Does she?
Vanessa's the heir apparent.
Oh, awesome. But did they learn a lot from you? Like, do they believe in all of this stuff?
They do. They definitely do. They're amazing kids. They're very much into the process of natural medicine. Nick, my oldest son, actually has worked with me on and off over the years. He worked for a while and then got out and worked back and forth. He and Vanessa, the two that work with me, they've all developed similar approaches to life, to similar consciousness developments, things like that.
Oh, that's great. So what's on your bucket list besides the next book and the next movie? What do you want to do? Is there anything you still want to check off?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of workshops. I just did a workshop. I did a 3-day workshop in the Bahamas.
Oh my gosh. I want to do that.
Yeah, it's so much fun. It's nice in the winter too, especially nice in January.
Right.
And I'm going back there next year. And I'm doing workshops and seminars in April. And that's going to be in North Carolina.
Okay.
There's a beautiful place in North Carolina. We're going to be there. It's called The Art of Living.
Okay.
Beautiful place.
Yeah, you're going to be like up in the Blue Ridge Mountains, aren't you?
That's exactly where we're going to
be. I was just there in October. It is so special. Underrated. My God, it was gorgeous.
Very special. I'm looking forward to it. And then we're going to be in New York at the Omega Institute. I think that's in June. The Omega Institute in June. So we have a lot of upcoming seminars and workshops and things like that. And I'd like to do more in Europe. I'm trying to set some stuff up in Spain and Italy right now.
Do you feel like people's minds are starting to open?
Whenever I meet them, they are. And any place I go, any place that people show up, they're always very much ahead of the game.
Yeah. That's amazing. So what is there a miracle that has stood out, that something that you couldn't even hardly believe it, that somebody that was so sick that made a turnaround?
You know, there's some amazing ones. I mean, the movie has like five or six stories in it.
Okay.
One of them is in Parkinson's. And he was sick with Parkinson's, and he was really limited in his movement. His movements were so limited. He couldn't walk more than 10 feet at a time without falling down.
Mm.
He was really bad shape. And he's running 3 miles a day now.
Oh my gosh.
Great example. And then I have a woman who had breast cancer, stage 3 or stage 4 breast cancer. She's completely cancer free.
Oh wow. I have got to see that movie. I didn't even realize I care for the elderly, and one of the ladies that I care for, she has Parkinson's. And I always thought that was just shaking. I had no idea how much it affects so many other things. She has to do exercises just so that her face doesn't get, rigid or I don't know. I had no idea about any of that.
Terrible. So I think that what I found in my work, there's no mechanical way to diagnose Parkinson's. There's no mechanical way to do it. There's no testing that's blood testing, none of that stuff. No mechanized form of testing. They just have you do physical demonstrations, like the way you move your arms, your hands, your feet, your legs, mm-hmm. backwards, forwards, stuff like that, sideways. And they check you that way and they determine if you have what they call Parkinson's. A lot of people have, I think, they're diagnosed with Parkinson's, have a virus that mimics Parkinson's. I see a lot of people every day who are diagnosed with Parkinson's and they don't have Parkinson's. You kill the virus, they get better.
Wow.
A lot of breakthrough activity in our work, tons of breakthrough activity. The objective is to teach people to avoid foods that have a lot of arginine, these viruses. You gotta be careful with your diet. Stay away from chocolate, egg yolks, corn products. That's important. That'll help you avoid the arginine. Arginine really does the number on the viruses.
Mm.
You gotta watch what you eat. You gotta take care of yourself in other ways.
And that's all in your book?
Yep, it's all in the book.
Perfect.
Little Miracles is an interesting book. It's it takes the time to really explain what our potentials are. Is like I said earlier, we have, I believe we have an identity crisis. We think we're just personalities. We reflect our name and our position in life and our aimments in life. That doesn't go far enough for me. We need to realize that we're souls. We're very deep souls. We have very incredible power, incredible capacity to make things happen. incredible. I mean, to make miracles.
Have you always been deep like that? Soulful like that?
So it was, yeah. Always. That's who I am.
I love that. So you like learning about the body, but it's more about the mind and the soul.
Yeah, it's worth thinking of from the perspective of the wholeness, the holistic nature of body, mind, spirit. We're all the above. We're all the above. And, you know, it's like the potential we have in our soul is so much greater than the potential we exhibit in our ego. Ego doesn't have the power of the soul. The soul has imaginless power, unlimited infinite power.
And people, when they come to see you, when they go to your seminars and retreats and stuff, are they learning all about that as well? Do they think they're coming there for all physical and then they find out it's more soul level stuff?
No, they know.
If they follow your work, they know.
A lot of people follow it. A lot of people following it. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm so anxious. I am for sure going to see your movie, and I'll put everything in the show notes too, so people can find you. I'm so excited for you. And this is just wonderful information to get out there. So I'm anxious to air this episode so that people can find out more about you. But thank you so much for taking the time. I realize your work is very important, and I know you're a busy guy. So I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me in my little show.
I enjoyed it. You did a fun interview. Thank you so much.
Oh, sure. Thank you so much. And I will be in touch for sure, Mark.
Nick, you can check, anybody wants to check out my work, my story, you can check out markmincola.com.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. Is there anything else that you want to promote? You're more than welcome. Here's the platform. Do it.
Think of the website. Everything's on there.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. And we'll talk soon.
Have a great day. Thank you.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.